Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We've got a three-man show today to talk about quarterback rankings. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere, as always, and today our guest is Fantasy Pros analyst, Jody Smith. Jody, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, guys. I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to be back on with the Dream Team.
It's our pleasure, and we had the Todd Gurley signed jersey giveaway thanks to pristineauction.com. So what I did is I took, you know, all the entries, I put them in an RNG, a random number generator, and drew out a name, and the winner of the Todd Gurley signed jersey is Rob Z. He has been contacted. We're sending the jersey to him, but we've got another one, DeAndre Hopkins signed jersey tags. Have you seen this, man?
I have. The DeAndre Hopkins one, I was kind of excited about because DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the NFL. So, I mean, who doesn't want a DeAndre Hopkins jersey?
Yeah, and all you have to do if you want to enter this is subscribe and review us on iTunes, leave us a review, then take a screenshot of that, send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com, and everyone who entered in for the Todd Gurley contest, you're also entered into this next one, so it wasn't a waste. You'll get entered into them for the rest of the season, and so you don't have to do anything more for that. I was looking at it, though, man. I was looking at Pristine Auction today. I used to be a big Rams fan, and I saw this Marshall Faulk signed gold helmet, full-sized, and it is beautiful. There's something for everybody here, no matter who your favorite team is. Even if you're, like, for whatever reason, not into sports and you're listening to this, they have all kinds of great stuff, hundreds of lots that end every day. It's a really easy-to-use website. It's completely free until you win something. Then, obviously, you have to pay for it, but it's super easy to use, and it's more affordable than you would think, too. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. See what they have for you. They've got something for everyone's cave. Tags, tell them about your experience with Pristine.
Yeah, no, so it's been great with me. I mean, I've ordered a few helmets off of there, and I've lost a few recent auctions I'm not really happy about. But I'm dedicated to getting an Amari Cooper helmet, so it's going to happen before long. I can only talk about it for so long. But I don't, who knows? Maybe I've lost to my wife in a bid because we have Father's Day coming up, guys. So if you guys are looking for something for your Father's Day, like if your wife is asking you, you know, what do you want? You never ask for anything. What do you want? Say, I want a signed helmet from your favorite player. Say anything. Maybe your dad likes a movie, and they like Bobby said, they have things from all over. It's not just sports. They have some movie, some interesting collectibles and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a great site, and I've had nothing but great experiences with them.
And please, by the way, when you go to Pristine Auction, make sure to let them know that Fantasy Pro sent you. That way we can keep giving away jerseys, because the more that you guys come, the more jerseys we can give away and helmets, whatever it is that they allow us to give away to you guys. And we want to give that to you guys. We really appreciate all the reviews. So it's great to be able to give back.
Yeah, it was Alvin Kamara. It's Todd Gurley. It's DeAndre Hopkins. Pretty soon we're going to fill up the entire first round, because I know we gave away Le'Veon Bell one a while ago. So we're going to get the whole first round of fantasy players done.
Tags, I heard that you got a nap in this weekend. There you go, dude. Treating yourself.
Well, no, I don't consider it a treat. As a matter of fact, I consider it torture because I don't get very tired during the day very often. Like, so yesterday I had watched golf in the morning and I wanted to do some work for an article that I was releasing today. And I was just so tired. So I was like, I'm just going to lay here. I'm going to take a nap and it's going to happen, right? I woke up after like 45 minutes because I set a timer on my phone. And then I woke up more tired than I was before I even took the nap. It's counterproductive. And I know Bobby tries telling me, he's like, Mike, take off your socks when you take your nap. And I'm like, what?
Yep.
And for whatever reason, Bobby says it works. And it did not work for me yesterday. So.
Well, you must have like hairy hobbit feet or something. I don't know what your problem is, but naps aren't supposed to work that way.
I'm one of the weird ones. My brother, my wife, like they love taking naps, but me, I can't stand them. They just make me more tired. So I just avoid them altogether. And this was actually the first one I took all year. So here we are.
There you go. All right. Well, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Jody Smith NFL, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Bobby Fantasy Pro. And guys, like I said, we're going to get into quarterback rankings here in just a second. And you know, there's only 32 of them to talk about, not like 65 running backs or whatever. We're not going to cover all of them, obviously, but it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show, just a heads up. Before we get into that, though, something really important happened to me this weekend. So I was at the grocery store. This is where a lot of important things happen in my life. And you'll remember I talked about this maybe 18 months ago. If you've been listening to the show for a while, it was a kind of a big deal for me when Frosted Mini Chex were taken off the shelf. Now, I'm not, you know, here to tell you guys that they're back. If they were, I would have thrown like a big party. It would have been like the number one trending item on Twitter, I'm sure. But I found Golden Oreo O's and I was like, okay, I'll give this a try. The other ones, the chocolate ones, were horrible. I tried them. They're even better than Frosted Mini Chex. So do yourself a favor. Try some Golden Oreo O's. Oh man, they were so good. It was like candy.
I can't eat this stuff anymore, guys. Like, I don't know about you, Jody, but I can't eat cereal anymore. And it makes me sad. I actually love cereal. I used to. But nowadays it's like, I can't eat breakfast because, well, it doesn't work because that means I'm eating too many calories in the day because I try and get something in my stomach around lunchtime. But yeah, man, wow. I miss cereal.
Yeah. I generally don't eat breakfast either, but the kiddie cereal, the sweet cereal, that never really worked because the Smith household, the sweetest cereal we are ever allowed was sometimes Honey Nut Cheerios or Rice Krispies. It didn't get any better than that. So when I actually started working when I was 16 and, you know, maybe through my early 20s, I actually would buy all that really bad, lousy kid cereal because I never got to enjoy it, you know, as a kid. But, you know, I became more health conscious and it just never worked for me. About the sweetest cereal that I would buy myself and occasionally eat now would be something like granola, which I guess is conceivably is healthy, but really it's loaded with sugar. But that's not about enough. As good as it gets for me.
Yeah, not enough. I'm sorry. You guys are doing this wrong as well. And, you know, I don't even eat this for breakfast. It's like a dessert for me because I don't really do the ice cream thing anymore. I go like Nutella on a bagel, like three of them for breakfast. But yeah, these Golden Oreo O's, man, delicious.
Nice. Well, I'm happy you found it, man.
Thanks. All right. Well, let's jump into the quarterback rankings here. And what we're going to do, very similar to what we've done the last few shows. We don't need to have two or three per person like we've done on the previous positions because there's just not that many. If you have three, of course, you can talk about them. But we're going to go most overvalued quarterbacks according to the expert consensus rankings. And we're each going to go around talking about the guys we like and commenting on those. And then we'll go the reverse. Quarterbacks who are the most undervalued. So, Tags, why don't you start us off? Who's a quarterback that is super overvalued?
You know, I'm going to go and start with Deshaun Watson. You know, we've talked about him in the show before, and I know Jody's probably going to take offense to this because Jody's a Texans guy. But I go in order, right? I start at the top and I look through it, and I would actually argue that Tom Brady might be a little overvalued, but I mean, he's got a track record. I understand he's safe, even if he does trend down in a little bit in that direction. But Deshaun Watson, my issue is that, Bobby, you brought up an amazing point on a show that I'm sure, like, it might have been, like, maybe nobody listened that late in that episode. Maybe somebody missed it in general. But we're talking about a 5-game sample with Deshaun Watson where he played really well. Okay, now there are 7 games that he played. He played horrible the first game he played. The second one wasn't so good. But then the last 5 games that we saw, he was great. My issue with this, and Bobby brought it up, he said that Blake Bortles played QB1 football towards the end of 2017, so why are people doing this with Deshaun Watson, but they're not looking at Blake Bortles, you know, like he's a startable fantasy quarterback? I looked at the numbers, Bobby. Bortles stretch over four games at the end of 2017. There were four games in there. He averaged 321.3 yards per game. He averaged 2.3 touchdowns per game. Now, granted, they were against Indianapolis, Seattle, Houston, and San Francisco, four defenses that were really struggling later on in the year. But Watson's five-game stretch, 294 yards per game, 18 touchdowns. So those touchdowns, we know that those are going to regress. I mean, he had the highest number since Peyton Manning's record-setting season. And to go before outside of Peyton Manning's season, you have to go back to like the 1960s to find that high of a touchdown rate. We know that those are going to regress. The defenses that Deshaun Watson played during that time, let's talk about those. New England, horrible. Allowed how many 300-yard games in a row? Tennessee were bad. That was back when Adoree Jackson wasn't shadowing and he wasn't playing very well. Kansas City, a team that teams were targeting, like when as it came further down the season, now people are projecting Kansas City to be a really bad defense. Cleveland, we know that they were bad. And then Seattle, that's the one that most people are like, oh, it made me believe. And me, as a fantasy analyst, I was like, well, it was somewhat impressive to walk into Seattle and throw for 400 yards, four touchdowns. He did throw three interceptions in that game as well, but that was kind of like the turn. That was Seattle's turning point as well, where Seattle,
everybody was hurt.
Seattle was a bad team last year. They were not very good on defense. They did have a lot of injuries. So how much can we really take away from this? You're willing to pay top dollar QB4 price, which is honestly, Deshaun Watson is going to go in the fourth round of fantasy drafts. Are you willing to pay that price? I know that I'm not.
And he's coming off of surgery.
An ACL, yeah, and you're taking, yeah, that's, he might be a little slow out of the gate when it comes to rushing. I'm not going to deny that Deshaun Watson has a QB1 ceiling. I will not deny that. But you're paying for it by drafting him where you are. And as you just said to Bobby, he's coming back from an ACL surgery, so it's possible they ease him back in, maybe not design so many run plays. Maybe he doesn't take off. Maybe he doesn't have the efficiency that he did on the ground last year because, well, he averaged almost 8 yards per carry.
That's why they signed Stephen Morris, too, by the way.
Oh, stop. Now, Jody, I'm really interested to hear your take on this because obviously you're from Houston. You follow the team. Like, the thing is, even though I love my Bears and all that, I'm not a homer. I assess everything as I should. What's your take on Watson? Am I right in my assessment here? Or are you saying, you know, I kind of watched him and everything he was doing was great and there's no reason you shouldn't believe it should continue?
No, Tags, I'm kind of like you, just because I've actually covered a team and given interviews and been in a locker room. I'm actually able to be indifferent. I'm an old Houston Oilers fan. So, you know, that allegiance, that inability to let go of my heart versus reality doesn't exist with me. And you brought up some good points of Watson. And the key for, as much as I like him and think he's going to be a strong fantasy asset, the overall picture is quarterback is just so deep. You guys have mentioned that this on this show more than once, there's probably 20 or 25 quarterbacks that you can win with. So it's just to me in that area of round four, round five, round six, where people are going to start jumping on quarterbacks. And we being analysts, we do all these early drafts where it's a lot of other analysts and experts, and quarterbacks tend to go probably two rounds later than normal. But even that said, I would rather just sit back and wait. I think Watson offers up a lot of upside. This is the second ACL injury he's had. He's still young, but it's probably going to have, they're probably not, like you said, Tags, they're going to probably try to keep him healthy and have less rushing attempts for him, because the drop-off between Watson and Brandon Whedon or Joe Webb, whoever happens to be the backup quarterback, is so significant that we saw with Tom Savage last year, what happens is you can't even run the same type of offense. So when you're setting up when Bill O'Brien is setting up an offense that's catered around Deshaun Watson's strengths, if he's not in the lineup, it's going to TKO the entire mission for Houston. So I like him overall, but I'm not going to argue for someone like you, Tax, to say that he's overvalued, because there's just so many other quarterbacks that are in that area that are probably a little bit safer that I would rather target.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to chime in, Bobby, before you go. Deshaun Watson, by the way, I just looked at ADP, because like we're talking about expert consensus ranking, and he's number four in there. But ADP, he's the QB1 right now. I just looked. He's being taken one spot before Aaron Rodgers. There is a deviation here in his ranking. Like, he's a little bit more up and down, like in terms of the deviation of where people are taking him than Rodgers. But Deshaun Watson's ADP is actually one spot higher than Aaron Rodgers right now. That's stupid. It's stupid. I'm sorry.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so we mentioned Blake Bortles, and here's the thing. Like, nobody thinks that Blake Bortles is as good as Deshaun Watson. That's not what we're saying at all. It's just that Blake Bortles had a similar sample size. All we've seen of Watson is that sample size, and so maybe it's the real deal, but it's not a risk I'm willing to take, especially at quarterback when you don't need to take a risk. It's like taking a risk on Andrew Luck. I think that Andrew Luck has more upside than Deshaun Watson, and his floor is a little bit lower than Watson, but Watson's going like 10 spots higher in terms of quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's questionable in my mind. Like, in looking at ADP, like, Andrew Luck is dropping further and further down draft boards, like, the longer the time goes on.
He should.
Yeah, I agree. I think he should, too. I think you should be very weary of it and talking about, you know, the depth of the position. And I think you made a really good point saying that it's a position you don't need to take risk at. So, I think we're all in agreement here.
By the way, Blake Bortles, that stretch he had with five games, no Allen Robinson, no Marquise Lee, no Allen Hurns. He did it with Keelan Cole and Mercedes Lewis. That's it.
Yeah, I think he had Marquise Lee for two of the four games. Okay. But, yeah, he was missing him for a couple of those, yeah.
Hey, by the way, 2016, there was a rookie quarterback named Dak Prescott. You remember his five-game sample size where he put 15 touchdowns?
It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good. And what did Dak Prescott do last year?
What's funny about this is I believe there's an in-between thing on everybody. I think that there's Deshaun Watson haters out there. I think there's those that love him as the QB1. I think there's Dak Prescott, same people. And I think there's a middle ground with these quarterbacks. And I think that we're going to end up finding it this year. And I predict that Deshaun Watson will be worth less than Dynasty next year than he is currently.
By the way, we're going to play a game right now. First person to correctly say Dak Prescott's first name is the winner.
Is it not Dak? I don't know his actual first name.
His name is Rain. Rain Prescott. We should call him that.
Really? That's like Rain Wilson from The Office?
Exactly. Same guy, actually.
Nice. I mean, I'm all about Dwight. Dwight, get it, man.
All right, let's move on to Jody's first guy that is overrated here.
Yes, I'm going to probably pick somebody here that is probably not going to be very popular considering his substantial current attention that everyone's giving him, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. I cannot figure out the obsession with this guy. I've seen him go as a QB5 in Dynasty drafts. That makes no sense to me. I just don't get it. Do you know that he's actually older than your boy Blake Bortles?
No, wow, really?
He is. He's actually almost 3 years older than Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Marcus Mariota. Wow. I mean, I understand the five starts he had last year. Very, very impressive with the 67% completion percentage. I actually multiplied that out. If you take his sample size of those five starts and you put it over a 16-game season, he would have thrown for 4,900 yards, which would have actually led the league last year, but only 19 touchdowns. And he would have thrown a pick per game. He would have ended up with 16. That is about 21 and a half fantasy points per game for a quarterback. That would have been QB11. So he's right there, you know, on the cusp of QB1 consideration. The problem for me is that people are just overreacting to that sample size. I understand the offense in place. I mean, the weapons, to me, they could be better. They're not the worst. The coaching, it's good. Like I said, I get it. But most of the damage he did last year, look at some of the games in those five starts. He played the Bears, and they ended up being a pretty good defense. He tore them apart pretty well. But he played the Texans. The Texans were atrocious last year. They ended up 22nd. But they were really, really bad when they played. He played the Titans, 27th, again, fifth worst secondary in football. Now, granted, he did some damage against the Jags, who obviously were the top unit. And the other start was against the Rams. They ended up right there, 15th, so they were mediocre.
Well, they were resting starters. They were resting starters that week, too, because they were planning for the playoffs.
Exactly what I was about to say. He's playing all these teams, and it looked good when they didn't have a lot on the line. Anyhow, when you're looking at, I'm looking at strength of schedule for this year. 25th against the pass. So it's going to be a pretty tough run for Garoppolo and the 49ers. And the fantasy playoff stretch, I went ahead and looked at that. Week 14, Denver. Week 15, Seattle. Week 16, Chicago. It's three pretty good defenses. So that stretch, a little rough for me. The thing is with quarterback, like I said earlier, it's so deep. I just don't understand everyone's obsession with over this five-game stretch, and there's so many safer guys that have been doing this for a lot longer that I would personally rather target.
Give me Matt Ryan, right? And we're going to talk about him later, so I won't go into it, but Jimmy G right now, number 11 ECR, Matt Ryan 16, Winston 15. Dak Prescott 19, Alex Smith 20. It's craziness to me.
I think it's a little nuts too. I don't have Garoppolo high. As a matter of fact, I have Garoppolo as my number 15 quarterback right now, and I think that's a fair place for him. Putting him as a QB 11 is saying that he's like an every week starter, and it's not to say that it's not possible, but Jody, as you mentioned, we haven't seen it very long with him. It's just as small as Deshaun Watson. Now, granted, you're not paying a third round, fourth round price for him, but you are paying as a QB1. You're not, you know, playing the streaming game with him. You're taking one of the top 10, 11 quarterbacks. And I see that some experts have him as high as QB6. I'm not willing to put him there. I don't think he has the go-to receiver in the offense that you would want him to have. I mean, Marquise Goodwin played well. Pierre Garçon is older. He's a possession underneath receiver. Trent Taylor was okay. Dante Pettis is a rookie. George Kittle, did he flash a little bit? Sure. I think they have a lot of pieces there. Jerick McKinnon is another piece. But Kyle Shanahan, like, think about it. It's like buying Matt Ryan after his MVP season. Like, who was going to buy Matt Ryan last year at his cost? A lot of fantasy experts were not, because they knew it was an outlier in what's been a relatively average career. And the reason that Garoppolo, his floor isn't as high as people think, he offers you zero rushing. You know, he's started now 7 games in his career. Do you know how many yards he's rushed for in those games? 17 yards. 17 yards is what he's rushed for in 7 games. He's essentially Philip Rivers, maybe Matt Ryan. I don't even know if he gets as much as Matt Ryan does. But that's what I'm saying is I agree with you, Jody. I don't think that he's one that should be in that top 10 conversation. And as of right now, that's where experts have him. So, I mean, I would rather take someone like Philip Rivers over him.
I love Jimmy G. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he finishes the QB1. It would surprise me a little bit. That would mean that Aaron Rodgers probably got hurt and a couple other weird things happen.
And he offers no rushing. And if you look at the players who finished number one, it's Russell Wilson.
You're right.
Aaron Rodgers. It's those guys. And
so let me rephrase it. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he's top 4, top 5 quarterback. I think he's got a serious ceiling. I mean, think about it this way. He came to the 49ers not knowing the playbook, not knowing his teammates at all, and he still put up those stats. I understand, you know, it wasn't the greatest defenses and everything like that, but he just learned the rule book and he was really good. There's a big time ceiling there, but I don't draft quarterbacks for ceiling. Like, that's a bad way to go. Hey, by the way, I'm looking at the experts right now that have him in the top 10, and 4 of the top 5 are from Yahoo Sports. Liz Loza, Dalton Del Don, Scott Pianowski, Brad Evans all have him 4-8.
So the Yahoo guys are convinced. We're going to have a conversation. Go Fantasy Pros versus Yahoo and see what happens.
Well, you know, Yahoo builds their rankings based on their expert consensus. And that, as I think it was Brad that was talking to us about this, maybe Andy was saying that that's how ADP is developed, basically, is they look at the Yahoo rankings and it goes pretty strictly off that. So right now it looks like Garoppolo is going to be the 7th or 8th quarterback off the board in Yahoo leagues. Fade him.
Yeah, I agree. But I do have one interesting stat on Garoppolo. It's one that Clinton, our producer, our old producer, I should say, he's still with us. Don't worry. but he liked the stat of the quarterbacks over the last 5 years of quarterbacks with at least 100 attempts in the season. Jimmy Garoppolo's 8.8 yards per attempt in 2017 ranks 3rd best. He definitely showed something in the first season. That's the thing. The reason that I am willing to say that he does have some upside to get into the top 10 is because, you know, we've seen Kyle Shanahan's system work. We've seen Garoppolo in his first year, you know, showing signs of improvement, even when he didn't throw touchdowns. But I do think the no rushing caps his upside.
Okay, here's my number one guy. Tags mentioned him earlier. I'm going to get a ton of hate for this. Bring it on at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Tom Brady, he's number 3. I could see him being number 3, of course. He's going to turn 41 years old before the season starts. He wasn't very good at the end of last season. And here, just listen to these last 5 finishes in terms of quarterbacks. Age 36, he finished 14th. Age 37, he finished 8th. 38, he finished 2nd. 39th, he finished 17. And age 40 season, he finished 4th. So 14, 17, 8, 4, 2... That's not that great. I mean, if you're looking for someone consistent and old, why not take Drew Brees? I have Drew Brees over Tom Brady in my rankings, and the expert consensus has Brady 3, Brees 7.
I'm close to you here. I mean, at their current costs, Brees 100%. Brady, like I said, the reason I didn't want to say him was just because I feel like he is safe. And I mean, he's going to put up points. And I think that if he's healthy for all 16 games, you can kind of lock him in for top 8 production. So it's hard to say that he's too overrated. But at the same time, we saw this with Peyton Manning, guys. Like, nobody expected Peyton Manning to take the step back that he did, you know, in his final season. He looked like a shell of the quarterback he was. Do I think that happens with Brady? Probably. I can't see that happening because, like, that was just a like tremendous downfall. Like, what the heck happened? But if you do, like Bobby, you mentioned it at the end of 2017, Tom Brady was not good. He actually didn't top 15 fantasy points in any of the last five games they played during the regular season. And that's despite playing Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh, Buffalo again, and then the Jets. The schedule wasn't really that tough. They're looking forward to their schedule in 2018. The running backs actually have a really good schedule. So if the Patriots stick to the Patriot way, they exploit the defense's weaknesses. You know, if all holds true to the way that I did strength the schedule, which was a little different than everybody else, the Patriots should be running the ball a lot more, and Tom Brady's going to take a step back. I mean, 41 years old, guys, I understand he's one of the best of all time. I get it. But everybody falls down at some point. You know, they can't play forever, and it's like, why take on that risk, especially where you have to draft him?
Hey, by the way, I mentioned Tom Brady's seasons, his finishes in terms of quarterbacks. In 11 of the last 12 seasons, Drew Brees has been a top six quarterback. That is bizarre.
You know what's a fun fact? Is that Tom Brady, do you know how many times he's finished as the QB1?
Ooh.
As the QB1?
I think one.
The QB1.
The 50 touchdown season.
Yep, it was 2007 with Randy Moss.
That was it. That's got to be it.
Yep, that was the only time he ever did it, with Randy Moss back in 2007. But he has a lot of top three finishes. So that's what I mean, is like it's hard to hate so much on the Brady thing. But again, I'm not taking him at all. Like there's much safer options, and I can't do it.
Man, everyone's trashing my food takes on Twitter. Enough of this. You guys are wrong.
Oh, Bobby's food takes are so bad. They're so bad.
All right, let's go to round two here of most overvalued quarterbacks. Tags, you're up.
All right, so nobody's going to like this one, but I'm going with Matthew Stafford.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I knew that was going to happen because, so I was writing an article earlier today because I was looking through, later this week it'll come out, where I'm putting out an article based on the biggest differences in expert consensus and ADP. And the public has Matthew Stafford as the QB15, whereas the experts have him as QB9. I believe there's a middle ground in here, and I would tend to lean towards the side of the public. And the reason I say that is because Matthew Stafford, dating back to 2012, he has yet to finish better than a QB7. So having him a QB9, you're essentially taking away any equity that you have in the position. You're not getting much upside there. The only time he actually did finish better than the QB7 in his career was the time he threw the ball almost 700 times in that season.
Calvin Johnson had like 1,900 yards, right?
Exactly. He doesn't have Calvin Johnson anymore, newsflash. But, you know, he hasn't finished worse than the QB15 in that time frame either. So I believe that he's one of the safe quarterbacks. He's kind of like a Philip Rivers, where it's like, you know, you can draft him and, you know, just understand that he's going to give you QB1 production probably half the time. And if he doesn't give you QB1 production, it's going to be slightly outside that range. They don't bust very often. But here's the thing. I also released an article earlier today based on coaching changes and what they mean for fantasy football. Matt Patricia coming to the Lions is bigger than people understand. Is that Matt Patricia is a defensive-minded coach. I know that Jim Bob Cooter stayed in there as the offensive coordinator, but they also brought in LeGarrette Blount, a running back who literally fits nothing of what the Lions have done for the last 5 years. Nothing. There would not be a running back who played on that team that was LeGarrette Blount. Now, I'm not a big fan of Blount in terms of the landing spot, but it kind of goes, I think he's like trying to change the offense a little bit, get it a little bit towards the Patriot way. Matthew Stafford, the attempts are going to continue to go down. He's going to have to remain extremely efficient, and I just don't see the upside for drafting him as the ninth quarterback off the board. If you tell me that you get him as the 12th or the 13th one, I'm okay with that because I feel like he's consistent enough to earn that spot.
It's a really good argument, man. Well, you made me say, like, what are you thinking? Like, that's crazy. But that's a really good argument. I don't want those super safe guys. I don't want someone who's going to be, you know, kill me half the weeks and be all right the other weeks. If I was drafting based on who's most likely to finish in the top 10, yeah, give me Matthew Stafford. But if I want to win my fantasy league, I think I'm fading him. I think you're right.
Why not search for that Deshaun Watson of this year? And stream quarterbacks, you know what I mean? Grab a couple of the guys that are going later on that have that upside. So, yeah, Matthew Stafford, while he's safe, I think it also depends on, and Jody, you can chime in on this. I think it depends on your roster build too, whereas, like, you know, if I have a ton of upside at other positions and if I want a safe quarterback, Philip Rivers or someone like Matthew Stafford is fine. But if you're a conservative drafter and like you're taking someone like Demaryius Thomas and, you know, guys like that on your fantasy team, you're going to need a quarterback who presents a little bit more upside with one of your late round picks.
Yep. I think you're saying the word safe in that, and that's a lot of what you get out of Stafford. If that's your personality, to just plug someone who's probably going to be a lower tiered QB1, and has almost no chance of being a top five guy, you know, he might be your guy. He's going to stay healthy. He never misses time. Maybe he's part of a good rotation. Maybe you can plug in him in with a guy like Jameis Winston or Kirk Cousins, something like that. But you kind of hit on a little bit tags with LeGarrette Blount. You're bringing in a defensive coach. You're bringing in LeGarrette Blount. You're bringing in Kerryon Johnson. The Lions have had no success punching in touchdowns and having a running back that can get down the goal line, which has caused Matt Stafford's touchdown numbers to spike two out of the last 3 years. If you add, say, half a dozen, 8-10 rushing scores to that offense, it's going to obviously detract from Stafford's upside. Like you said, man, if you're going to swing for the fences with a quarterback, I don't know that Stafford's your guy.
All right, so who's your number two guy here, Jody?
Well, the guy that, for me, that turned out to have the biggest separation from where I view him and from where the ECR would be Jared Goff. Now, I don't know how many people are actually focusing on him as a starter. He's a guy you would probably want to use as part of a committee or a rotation. But here's the thing. You're losing your offensive coordinator, and I understand that Sean McVay was actually the play caller there, so that might not have a lot of effect on him. But last year, Jared Goff, he had six games where he had either zero or one touchdown. That hurts. Quarterback is so deep in today's current NFL that when you're taking zero or one touchdown passes from your QB, you know that's a hard pill to swallow. But also, when you dig a little deeper into the numbers, he really picked on the bottom 10 defenses that the schedule laid out for the Rams last year. He had four games in particular against teams that really, really struggled. The 49ers, the Giants, the Texans, and the Titans. We've already talked about the Houston and Tennessee secondaries last year. Goff missed week 17, so he didn't get to play the 49ers a second time. But in those four games, he averaged 315 yards through 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions. That actually is one-third of his yardage for the entire year, and half of his 28 touchdown passes came in those four games. So you're talking about a guy that better, more coordinated defenses were kind of able to neutralize him a little bit. Maybe his numbers go up a little bit if Todd Gurley dips back a little bit. But again, in the Rams, another thing is they have the sixth toughest strength of schedule, looking here at Fantasy Pros quarterback strength of schedule numbers for 2018. So a little apprehensive to target Goff. He's right there. Like I said, he's on the cusp of the QB1 border with right now his ECR is 13. So maybe you slip a little bit and you're targeting him as your starter. Again, he's somebody that I view more of as maybe a guy you plug in a part of a rotation, but he's not someone that I would want to get stuck with as my starter.
I'd be cool just leaving on the waiver wires all year.
Well, I have Jared Goff. I mean, in one quarterback leagues, I have Goff as my number 21 quarterback. So I'm pretty sure that I'm right there with you, Bobby, unless you're in a league that drafts two quarterbacks for every team. And the reason I say that, guys, is like, you know, there's some real regression in what he did last year. His efficiency numbers were off the charts. Most people don't realize how little he threw the ball. He threw the ball 477 times.
Wow.
Like, that's not a lot. And you think that they're going to go away from Todd Gurley to throw the ball more, especially with the defense that they just built? I mean, they added Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. Like, this defense is legit. You know, they wanted to build what the Jaguars have, and then they have a more potent offense. They're not going to go away from their run game. That's just not going to happen. And get this. Even in 2017, where people want to talk about Jared Goff being so good, they want to talk about Jameis Winston sucking, right? So I was going through my boom, bust, and everything in between series, like the research, I started that. And so on average, in 2017, it took 24 fantasy points for a quarterback to finish as a top five guy. It took 18.1 fantasy points for them to finish as a QB1, a top 12 guy. Listen to these numbers. Jared Goff, top five quarterback, 26.7% of time. Jameis Winston, 30.8%. QB1 percentage, Jared Goff 46.7, Jameis Winston 46.2. Wow. Jameis Winston was on the bad end of touchdowns last year. His yardage was there. The touchdowns were not. Jameis Winston is the guy. He's the Jared Goff of this year, and he's the one that we're going to talk about in a moment that I feel like is being extremely undervalued, whereas Jared Goff is on the flip side. I think Jared Goff is being way overvalued. So I'm right there with you, Jody.
He might be the Deshaun Watson of this year, too. I mean, you're talking about him as someone who could be sixth or seventh. I think Jameis Winston could be third or fourth.
He's got that upside because he does have some rushing ability. He's got the weapons in that passing game.
Also, how many long receptions did Todd Gurley break off for touchdowns? Like, he went for 80 yards and 72 and 65 or something like that. That's not going to happen again.
Correct. That's what I'm saying, is just that the efficiency for Goff last year on his 477 attempts was ridiculous. His touchdown rate was almost 6%, which is not something that I would expect to continue. But even if it does, those attempts aren't going up with the way the defense is playing, with the game script that they're going to be doing. Like I said, Jared Goff's ceiling is last year, arguably, I would say, and he finishes the QB 12, but people have him at QB 13. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so I said Tom Brady first, and actually he was like my fourth most overrated quarterback because I've got him, you know, ECR has him at 3. I've got him at like 5 or 6. I'm not going to have any shares, but the guys I like less, I guess you could say, no way I'm going to have a share of Deshaun Watson, but two other guys, okay? I don't know if Tags, Jody, if you guys have any others, but I'm going to give my two right now. Number one is Big Ben. All right, Big Ben, I cannot believe how high he's being drafted, quarterback number 10, and this has moved up quite a bit in the last few months. Guys, how many times has Big Ben finished above 10th in his fantasy history? He's 35 years old. He's been in the league for what, 13, 14 years? How many times do you think he's finished in the top 10, Jody?
Top 10 for Roethlisberger? I don't know, 5?
3 times. Tags, how many times do you think he's finished in the top 3?
I know this answer, and it's none.
It's 0.
He's finished top 8 twice. I know that because it was a stat that I wrote about him. And here's the thing, Bobby. I'm really torn on Ben. And I've always been one where it's like, he's like not the guy that you want to rely on every week, but he's going to win you weeks, right? Like, you know, when he's at home, like you put him in your lineup, you don't really care who he's playing. You just put him in and he wins, right? So Warren Sharp has done some really good research in terms of, you know, the play calling in Pittsburgh and how they should have been a lot better than they have been. And he blames it on Todd Haley and the play calling that he's done. So the fact that Todd Haley's gone might actually help this offense and it might open things up. They're talking about running more no huddle, which would benefit Ben Roethlisberger. They're talking about letting him do quarterback sneaks, which would benefit Ben Roethlisberger if it's like a Tom Brady situation in the goal line where it's like, he's a big body. Let him dive into the goal line. You know what I mean? Like, I know that Le'Veon Bell is really good, but if you can run a no huddle and just get up there and get it, that could benefit him. So I'm really torn on Ben Roethlisberger, man. So, I mean, I want you or Jody to sell me on this one because I'm really torn. Like, that's a player that I will admittedly say that I don't know where to rank him.
I'll chime in here since I had Roethlisberger listed as my third overvalued guy. I have him at 14, where his ECR is at 10. Tack, you just mentioned them maybe using him as a runner. That doesn't seem like the best idea. He's played 16 games in 3 out of his 14 seasons. So he always manages to get hurt as an athlete, as a runner. He hasn't rushed for 100 yards since 2010. So he's not exactly, you know, the kind of guy that can do that anymore. He also hasn't surpassed 30 touchdowns in 10 seasons. You know, he's pretty safe for what he is. He lacks that total upside. Like you said, he's never finished his top 3. He had 4 games last year with 300 plus passing yards. That's the same as Blake Bortles, everyone's favorite hero. And this year, one more thing, Fantasy Pros strength of schedule passing rank for the Steelers is 30th.
Yep. Man, I don't like this one. I used to be the guy that was always drafting Big Ben, and then I would lose, right?
Like I said, he's one of the tough ones, but I could understand taking someone like Kirk Cousins over him, even though he may not give you the week winning performances that I think Roethlisberger will, but Roethlisberger definitely does hurt on the road, and some people think that that's like a false narrative. It's not. Looking over the past, I think it's 5 years now, Ben Roethlisberger legitimately is not very good on the road.
Does he play the Jags this year? Because if he does, he's going to be thinking about his life again and maybe retiring and everything like that.
I do believe that they play the Jags once this year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, though.
that was so funny when he just got torched. What was it? 5 interceptions. And he was like, I think I'm just going to retire.
I'm looking at it right now. Actually, yes. Week 11, he plays Jacksonville.
All right. Here's my other one. I'm going to try to be a little quicker on this one. Carson Wentz, and this one's really pretty simple. Again, major touchdown regression coming. If he goes from his 7.5% touchdown rate to 5%, which is just below Tom Brady's career average, he would have lost 11 touchdowns last season. So let's say you take those 11 touchdowns off in his 13-week sample size. He was the third best quarterback behind Watson and Russell Wilson in points per game. He moves all the way down to number 13 in points per game if he even has Tom Brady's career rate.
Wentz, I actually feel like he's pretty properly. I think I have him a spot lower than the ECR, but it's not like, it all depends on if he's starting week one. If he starts week one and he shows me that he's healthy in the preseason, he's someone that I can picture him like stepping forward in his career. They replaced Torrey Smith with Mike Wallace, who's arguably better. They lost LeGarrette Blount, might lose some of those vulture touchdowns, even though that Wentz got most of them last year. You know, Doug Peterson is the play caller. I don't know. It's a really weird thing where it's like, I feel like Wentz, I think he showed his ceiling last year in terms of efficiency, but I also think that his attempts might have been down because he was so efficient. So he's someone I have. Yeah, I was looking at. I have at number seven right now, and I don't really know how to feel about it. I just feel like the Eagles defense isn't as good as the Rams, which is why I think that Carson Wentz could have more pass attempts. I feel like the way that they run their offense, it benefits Wentz, and they've kind of built everything around him. Whereas like the Rams, they lean on Todd Gurley more than anything. So some people might want to say, well, why is Goff low and Carson Wentz is high, yada, yada. But I just feel like Wentz is the safer choice here because his defense isn't going to be like shut down like the Rams are.
Coming off a torn ACL, coming off a torn LCL. Now, Tags, let me ask you this. Over under, Carson Wentz's touchdown rate this year is higher or lower than Tom Brady's career rate?
Oh, man. Well, the NFL's become pass first. So it's like when you look at, like, if people want to compare passing touchdown, like they're in terms of percentages and like touchdown to interception ratio, just look at Aaron Rodgers for his career and it's friggin' ridiculous. Like there's nobody even close. Like it's not even close. So I'll probably say under just because there's got to be regression here.
Oh, so he's not a QB1 in your mind?
I think he is, but I could see a situation where he's not.
Jody, what do you think about Carson Wentz?
I think he, for Tag to say he's right there at six, that's about where he is. Right now, he's a little, you want to be a little cautious with him because of the knee injury, and there's no real reason for the Eagles to rush him back since they have a more than capable backup in place with Nick Foles. So assuming that Foles can come back and be healthy, he'll probably run a little bit less. But to answer my opinion of your question of the touchdown rate, it would probably be higher than Tom Brady's career rate. I see the Eagles are our team right now that's still primed to contend for the Super Bowl yet again. And here's the thing with me. The Patriots, they're annually among one of the highest rushing touchdown teams in the league, whereas we're probably not going to see that of the Eagles. So for a touchdown rate, I don't think it's going to drop off all that much. So when we get good reports of Wentz's knee and that he looks like he's probably going to be up ready to start week one, then I view him as a top five guy, and I'll be happy to have him on any rosters, any lineups that I have, in particular in Dynasty.
Tags, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers' touchdown rate, which is phenomenal, by the way. If you drop Carson Wentz's rate all the way down to Aaron Rodgers' rate last year, it removes enough points that he would have had the same amount of fantasy points per game as Josh McCown and Jared Goff in the first 12 games.
That's not helping any argument for him being like a top five quarterback being drafted as such. I think here's the lesson to be learned from all this. After looking at ADP while we've been discussing all of this stuff, it's to avoid quarterbacks early in your drafts. Like, don't take guys like Deshaun Watson, don't take guys like Carson Wentz, because you're passing up someone that's going to give you guaranteed production at the running back position or at the wide receiver position. And you can just get guys like, like we mentioned, Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Matthew Stafford is boring, sure. Matt Ryan's boring, sure. You can get these guys later in your drafts and not have to use that equity and not have to worry about all this regression.
All right, well, let's go undervalued now, and Jody, we'll let you start first.
Okay, Tags, you kind of hit on, you hinted around who you're going to talk about, and he was my number one guy. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to my second undervalued guy, and hopefully I won't take it from Bobby. And that's Marcus Mariota. ECR all the way down at 18, and I have him right there as a fringe QB1. I have him at 11. And here's the thing. I hit on Matt LaFleur earlier, how he left the Rams. Well, he's actually coached the NFL leader in points the last 2 years. And guess where he's coaching now? Right there with the Titans. And I think what he's going to do is, you're talking about a smart coach. He's going to move away from this exotic smash mouth, which was obviously a terrible fit for Mariota. And they're going to go to more of a play action run pass option that I think is going to be perfectly suited for Mariota's skill set. I really think that his arrival is going to cut back on some of those interceptions that came from just poor game planning and not putting Mariota in a place where he was able to capitalize on his skills. He had just an antiquated type of philosophy from Malarkey and Terry Rubisky. It's just something that did not fit Mariota well. And I think you're going to have a new, younger coach with a different philosophy that's going to come and be aggressive and put that offense in a position for Mariota to really, really become more of an asset. And last year, part of his numbers were hurt because, he injured his hamstring in week four, and that affected, his rushing upside, where, he only had three or less rushing attempts in 8 out of the 10 games. He didn't really have a big part of what he did there. And to me, the Titans, I think they have a pretty underrated group of talent around him. You've got Deion Lewis, who I'm very, very intrigued by. I'm not a Derrick Henry fan at all, but they've got some really, really interesting pass catchers. And Mariota, at this time last year, he was everyone's boy. You know, he was everyone's pick to be the top 10 guy that was going to come in and be maybe even a top 5 guy. And now we're all turned against him because he had such a rough year. I think all the changes that the Titans made this offseason are going to put him back in a position where he's going to, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's got a great chance at being a QB1, and he's one of the guys that, while we've talked a couple of times about not targeting quarterbacks early because you don't need to, he's one of my favorite projects to target around 10, around 11, around 12, where you can regularly find him. And like I said, I feel like he's got plenty of QB1 upside and an excellent value that late.
I went back and looked at our fantasy leaders, and you can sort it by, you know, stretches basically. And so I just went through 8-game sample sizes, okay, over the past 3 years. Marcus Mariota's 8-game sample size in 2016 was the best 8-game sample size of any quarterback at any stretch of time in the last 3 years. What do you think about that, Tags?
I believe that we got, I think it was John Paulson we had on the show last year, and like he was really high on Mariota and I wasn't, and we were going back and forth, and I was talking about regression and the fact that with his knee injuries, about them not using him so much more running the ball, and they still did. They actually had him run the ball. He scored 5 rushing touchdowns this past season, but his passing, and I think it opened a lot of people's eyes, including myself. Like it's different when you get to see the film from behind the quarterback. And if you watched Marcus Mariota versus the Steelers when they had the special camera, it was they had this camera from behind the quarterback, and Mariota looked lost. Like and it wasn't an offense that he just stepped into. It was week 10. So he looked really lost. Like he had zero chemistry with his wide receivers. Corey Davis, it took a long time for him to develop any chemistry with Mariota. Now, I do think that Jody's right in his assessment that people are kind of overlooking Mariota a little bit based on what happened last year. Coaching makes a lot of difference. And if you create a better opportunities for your quarterback, which Matt LaFleur, the reason he left the Rams to come to the Titans was because he was under Sean McVay. McVay's the play caller. He wasn't really doing anything. He had the offensive coordinator title, but he was essentially just a guy, you know? So him leaving was for a chance for him to shine. Now, did he learn from Sean McVay? And if he did, is that why they brought in Deion Lewis? Because they want to run the ball. They want to base it around the running back, using him a lot in passing situations. And that's a smart thing to do. As Jody mentioned, Corey Davis is really freaking good at football. Rishard Matthews is still a really good receiver. Taywan Taylor might be an upgrade over Eric Decker, you know, in terms of at this point of his career. So Delanie Walker is still there. He's not going anywhere. So there is a lot of reasons to like Mariota. I think that there's some risk built in that he may not be as good as some people thought he was as a passer. But I do believe there's upside. So he's absolutely in that conversation with guys like Patrick Mahomes or Alex Smith or Mitch Trubisky, where they have upside as QB1s, but you don't have to draft them anywhere near that range.
I don't draft 2 quarterbacks, but if I do, Mariota is going to be one of the guys that I'm targeting, because you look at all these other guys in his range, and he's the one that I think could slide into a top 5 quarterback this year. I'm not banking on it. That's why I'm not relying on him as my number 1 quarterback. But, you know, if I can get Matt Ryan and Mariota, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe combination. You have the safety of Ryan. If Mariota turns into something, you have yourself a QB1. So I have no issue with that combination. And like, that's the thing. I'm not going to rag on people if they want to draft 2 quarterbacks. You have to know your league. You have to understand who's going to be there on waivers. And if your whole league drafts 2 quarterbacks, it's going to be really tough for you to play that game.
Yep.
Because then you'll be choosing from guys like maybe Ryan Tannehill, Case Keenum, Joe Flacco. And you really don't want to be in that range.
What's wrong with Case Keenum? Case Keenum's better than Mitch Trubisky.
Okay, I'm not doing this now.
Everybody agrees with this, Tags. Everybody in the world thinks that Case Keenum's better than Mitch Trubisky.
You're just touching buttons now. Let's keep moving.
All right, you're up next, man. Who's your most underrated guy?
It's Jameis Winston, and it's not really that close. The first time so when I do my projections, I go through them and I put them in, and I will always look at everything and say, okay, maybe I over-exaggerated here, but I try and remain level-headed throughout the entire process, looking at the coaching changes, looking at the personnel around them, everything. The only thing that hurts Jameis Winston a little bit is that their defense is going to be, they're going to be so improved this year. But they do play in a tough division where they play a lot of offensive juggernauts. So how good can they get in their first year with no chemistry together? It may take some time. But Jameis Winston, as a passer, you know, I mentioned it before last season, Deshaun Watson, the effect that he has on quarterbacks is a great one. Even though Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson didn't really connect on a great level last year, you saw his yards per attempt improve. And that every single quarterback, I've done a study on this. DeSean Jackson, every single quarterback that he's played with, their yards per attempt is better with him on the field than the rest of their career. Like every quarterback. And he has played with a lot of different quarterbacks. So to see Kirk Cousins take a step back last year in terms of yards per attempt wasn't a shock. To see Jameis Winston take a step forward wasn't a shock. The touchdowns were the only thing missing with Winston last year. I mentioned on the show that if you combined Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston last year as one quarterback, you know, starting the games that they started, they would have led the league in passing yardage. So you cannot predict touchdowns year over year. To see Jameis Winston down there in that territory with Matt Ryan, I feel like that's his floor. I feel like Jameis Winston's floor is there because he does run the ball pretty well. He lost weight, if you guys don't remember, after his rookie season. So he's pretty spry in terms of like it when he's not injured. So you could see him score 3-4 rushing touchdowns. You could see 300 yards in the ground. He happens to have like the best trio of wide receivers, the best duo of tight ends, a pass catching running back. Like there's really not much to dislike about Jameis Winston outside the fact that he might not be as good a passer as everybody thought he was again. Like there's just some dumb decision making that he has, but he also flashes at times. So if he gets on the same page with DeSean Jackson this year and Mike Evans, you know, gets back on that touchdown train that he's been on for most of his career, I think Jameis Winston has a realistic shot at finishing as a top five quarterback.
I think so too. Ed, Jody, was this you were going to say as your number one guy?
Yep. I have Winston as my QB 10. He was actually a 15 on ECR. So that 5 was actually the biggest gap. I just didn't mention him because I knew that Tags had kind of hinted around that he wanted to, but you hit the nail on the head there with the 7.7 yards per attempt was the best of his career last year. And as was his quarterback rating, and his interception percentage was actually the lowest of his career. He was 8th in the NFL in yards per attempt and net yards per attempt. Now, here's the thing with Winston real quick. You know, he missed 3 games with a shoulder injury, but he was actually limited in 2 others by that same shoulder ailment. So I looked at things in the 11 games where he was pretty much completely healthy or mostly healthy. And when you project those numbers out, you get pretty impressive numbers. It would have been 4,911 passing yards. Tom Brady led the league with 4,576. So he would have been way up there. Taking his numbers in those 11 games and projecting them out to a 16 game pace, you would have had just under 24 fantasy points per game for a quarterback. That would have been QB4.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're exactly right. You know, he runs a little bit too. Remember his rookie year, he had 6 rushing touchdowns. I mean, he's not going to get out there and run for 400 yards like Russell Wilson or anything like that. But he can pound it into the end zone. So I love Jameis Winston. He was easily my number one. I'm going to give my my other one here in just a second, but I didn't want to let this point go by. Okay, so Case Keenum last year averaged 15.9 fantasy points per game. Mitch Trubisky, 11.2. So what we're looking at here is a 42% difference. Case Keenum was 42% better. So let's look at Russell Wilson compared to Case Keenum, okay? Oh, what's that? 37% better. So the difference between Case Keenum and Russell Wilson is actually closer than the difference between Case Keenum and Mitch Trubisky.
You want to know a fun fact? If you were to look at Jimmy Garoppolo, when he took over as the starting quarterback for the 49ers, and you look at him next to Mitch Trubisky, do you know that Trubisky had just as many 18-point games from that point forward as Garoppolo did?
No, I didn't know that. Wow.
Nobody knows that because, like, that's the thing. Is like, if you take the first, like, 3 games of Trubisky's career, he threw the ball 7 times in one of those games. Like, you can't do that. And by the way, he was also playing for, the worst coach of all time, John Fox. He's, like, the new Jeff Fisher. If he gets a head coaching job somewhere.
He won with Tim Tebow. How can you say that?
Okay, he didn't win with Tim Tebow. Let's be real about this. John Fox won a Super Bowl in Denver because of Peyton Manning. It had nothing to do with his coaching. Anyways, I'm not getting into this whole thing. Can't do it. it's like a Mike Singletary moment. Can't do it.
What do you mean he didn't win with Tim Tebow? He took Tim Tebow to the playoffs, dude.
He didn't do anything. The talent on that team was immense. Like,
yeah, they were like 0-6 before Tebow got there.
Oh God. Okay, stop defending John Fox. Otherwise, I hope your Jags hire him.
They won't need to hire him because they're going to make the playoffs every year, man. They don't need a new coach.
Bobby, who's your quarterback? I'm not talking about this.
My quarterback made the playoffs last year. Did yours?
No, he didn't.
All right. I'm going to get to my number two guy here, and he's way behind Jameis Winston. But, you know, I think I might have more shares of Matt Ryan this year just because I think he's safer than Jameis Winston. Like, I'm pretty confident Matt Ryan's going to be a top 12 quarterback. I think Jameis Winston probably will, but not as confident. And plus, Matt Ryan has a really good ceiling, too. I mean, we saw it earlier. Like, 2 years ago, it was one of the best NFL seasons of all time. I know Shanahan's gone, but you look at Pro Football Focus, and they watch the tape, and they grade the players. They said last year Matt Ryan was the second best quarterback in the NFL. Now, the stats didn't back that up, but I think that they will be much closer to that this year.
Matt Ryan, he was the only quarterback actually to throw for 4,000 yards and not finish in the top 10 last year. It just goes to show that his touchdowns were a little bit down. So, you know, if those touchdowns come up, he's going to be just fine. And I do see them coming up. There's just too much talent there to waste. Adding Calvin Ridley is definitely not going to hurt Matt Ryan. Mohamed Sanu, you know, he's still there. Austin Hooper, I don't believe in the guy. I don't think he's very good. But at the same time, he's another year in the league. Like, the offensive line is one of the better ones in the NFL. The run game is strong. It's just hard not to like Matt Ryan as one of the safest quarterbacks. He's like, he might be the new Phillip Rivers, where it's like they don't give you anything rushing, so that's really going to hurt their overall upside unless you know, had an MVP caliber season like Ryan did a couple years ago. But I think Ryan, I think we know who he is. You know, looking over his entire career, he's been the same quarterback outside that one season with Kyle Shanahan, where he, you know, again, one of the best fantasy seasons of all time. So I think we know who Matt Ryan is. He's like that low-end QB1, high-end QB2, who can be had as like the QB16, QB18, and ADP, depending on, you know, where you're drafting at. So I have no issue with taking Matt Ryan. He was actually on my list.
If you take his extremely low touchdown rate and you split it in half with what he did in 2016, that adds 9 touchdowns. I mean, if you add 9 touchdowns to what he did last year, he jumps from quarterback 15 to, let's see here, quarterback 8.
Yeah, I just want to see, I want 1 year, I want Julio Jones to score like 12 touchdowns 1 year, so I have to stop hearing about how he can't score touchdowns.
Chris Carter did it, man. Don't forget that. I shared that stat last time. Chris Carter took off when he was this age. All right, Jody, back to you for number two.
How about Dak Prescott? This is a guy that everyone has frowned upon, and I understand why. You lost Jason Witten, you lost Dez Bryant, so I guess everyone's assuming that Prescott's just going to fall off. And let's face it, you know, he declined quite a bit last year versus what he did as a rookie, but he still last year ended up as QB10. He was QB9 as a rookie. He only dropped off one spot. He was QB10 last year. A lot of that has to do with how good he is a rusher. He's ran for 6 touchdowns both years in the league, and that probably is going to remain a big part of what he does. But last year, and looking at what he did as a passer, you know, he struggled mightily when Zeke Elliott wasn't in the lineup, which, you know, is to be understated, as any quarterback would have. But if you exclude week 17, in the 9 games in which Prescott had Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield, he threw for 222 yards a game, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he also ran for 24 yards a game. Those are pretty good numbers. That's 23, just over 23 fantasy points a game. That's actually top 5 fantasy quarterback. He ran for 17 yards a game as a rookie. That jumped up 5 yards to 22 last year. A lot of that has to do with, like I said, with Elliott being gone. So his rushing production in the yards will probably decline just a little bit, but the touchdowns are probably safe there. And I think the Cowboys did okay with bringing in Hearns and with Michael Gallup. I think those are adequate replacements. But here's the thing with me. I think Prescott is an accomplished enough as a runner where that's going to boost his numbers annually to the point now in the ECR, he's down at QB19. That's telling me that in a lot, maybe even more than half of fantasy leagues, Dak Prescott isn't even getting drafted. And like I said, his first 2 years in the league, he was a top 10 quarterback. So if that's the case, you're looking at a guy that's probably going to be a QB1 that you're going to be able to get on waivers. And I'm just a fan overall of the value that he represents. He probably isn't going to get much higher than that 9 or 10 range at best. That's probably about the best he can do. But when you're looking at these guys that are in the Matt Ryan QB15 to QB20 range, you're looking at value there. To me, if Dak Prescott is available, I'm going to take him every time.
Totally agree. I think Dak's a great call. Tags, where do you have Dak?
I have Dak right around the ECR. And the reason I do that is I will move him up depending on how I see the Cowboys react to their preseason and the moves that they did not make this offseason, or they did make. Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, losing those two is massive, just because I don't believe they have pass catchers that are competent. I want to see if Michael Gallup can get on the field for week one, because if the Cowboys are competent, or if the coaching staff is competent at all, they'll get him on the field as soon as possible, which will raise the ceiling for Prescott, because as much as I think he has a floor with his legs, he's going to have to throw the ball. Like, that's going to have to happen in order for him to accumulate fantasy points, you know, on a regular basis, because Ezekiel Elliott's still going to get the rushing touchdowns. That's going to happen. So it's more about the lack of talent in the passing core and the Cowboys coaching staff that I'm worried about, because they've run a really vanilla offense where they haven't done much, to make space for their playmakers like Dez Bryant, like Jason Witten back in his heyday. I'm kind of like in the middle on Dak. I just want to see what the Cowboys coaching staff does as we get closer to the season.
I'm curious, first of all, before you get to your number two, actually, what do you think about Tyrod Taylor in a two quarterback league?
It's risky. It's a risky proposition. I wouldn't want him as my number two. I'd take him as my number three. And use him for as many weeks as you get, because more and more chatter comes out that Baker Mayfield is catching on really quick and he might start sooner than you think.
He's going to be awesome.
I like Baker, and I really have, but I also just don't understand Cleveland, why they would trade for Tyrod Taylor as much as they did and not play him for a little while. I had him starting up until week 10, until their bye week, which would be 10 games, but it's starting to seem like it's going to be less than that. So it's a risky proposition for sure.
All right, so who's your number two guy now? Sorry for interrupting you there.
No, that's all right. I had Matt Ryan on my list as well, and then I had a couple other guys just because I wanted to mention them, as I feel like they're being undervalued right now. Mitch Trubisky is one of them at QB22. I don't think people realize what he offers you on the ground. You know, just as Jody was saying, Mitch Trubisky's legs are very, very undervalued right now.
Serious upside, for real, real upside. I'm not joking.
Yeah, no. The fact that he has so much talent around him, you know, instead of trying to figure out, okay, which player is going to walk into this Tyreek Hill role and who's going to do this, who's going to do that? How about you just say he's got Allen Robinson, he's got Anthony Miller, he's got Trey Burton, he's got Tariq Cohen, all these guys. Just say, I'll just take Mitch Trubisky because he's being taken as the 22nd quarterback off the board. Like, that's kind of ridiculous. You pair him with someone like a Marcus Mariota and your upside is phenomenal. You know, one of them is going to hit. I love Trubisky at his current price, and I'm tempering back expectations. Actually, I have him as the QB 18 right now, and I think I'm being very conservative in my approach with him because we still haven't seen elite production, but at the same time, I know what the ceiling is here. I also think that Eli Manning is extremely undervalued, even though I understand why. He's the QB 23 in ECR, but that's the thing. The reason I think he's too low is because when you start adding up the production of how we're tying all this production to all these positions, someone's got to get him the ball. And Eli Manning, if he turns into like the Case Keenum or Sam Bradford from last year, you know, you're going to be able to use him as a streamer. I don't think he's draftable as a starter or anything, but I do believe he's much better than people think.
Two quarterback leagues and best ball leagues, I actually have a lot of Eli Manning, and I'm happy about it. I'm proud to admit it, because I think he's going to do well this year. Now, Mitch Trubisky, you have him at 18. Who do you have him ahead of? Like, Derek Carr is 21. He was the fourth quarterback off the board last year. Alex Smith is 20. Dak Prescott, Mariota, Mahomes. Who do you have him ahead of, Tags?
I have him ahead of Derek Carr. That's for sure. Like, Derek Carr, I'm not a big fan of. I have Mitch in front of Dak Prescott. I have him in front of Jared Goff. So those are guys that I'd take him over. I'm being pretty standoffish in saying, like, I don't want to get over the top because I understand that I can get sucked into this. And, like, you know, just you don't want to pay for upside. Then you're losing all of the equity that you're getting in the pick. So, again, would I take him over someone like Alex Smith? No, I have him just behind Alex Smith. The player that people have talked about and the one that I don't understand why people are saying they're bumping him up way up their boards into like the top 12 is Patrick Mahomes, because him and Mitch Trubisky, I think they belong in the same conversation.
Yes, good point. Yes.
And the thing is, Mahomes is costing a lot more. So for me, I'll take the discount on Trubisky, even if he doesn't live up to that. But Mahomes, we're talking about a one game sample size, and he didn't throw a touchdown in that game. So it's not like he went off. I don't know. the Mahomes love, I understand the upside, but again, his price is reflecting that upside. Like, you're paying for the hope of that upside, whereas Trubisky, you're not paying for anything. He's free.
The weapons for Trubisky, I think, are a little bit better. The coach for Trubisky is definitely better. The talent for Trubisky is better. So that's really interesting, man. That's really interesting. Okay, here's my final one, and it's only for two quarterback leagues because we've mentioned all the guys I like. Drew Brees, I already gave some numbers on that. Winston is everyone's guy, and I mentioned Matt Ryan. But Lamar Jackson, in a two quarterback league, I think you have to have him. I don't know if he's going to start in week 4, week 8, week 12. When he comes, though, he's a QB1 from the get-go in my mind. Just look at what Tim Tebow did in 2011, and you know, I usually only bring up Tebow as a joke on this show, but in terms of fantasy production, he was actually pretty good because he ran the ball enough, right? In 2011, he was the QB6 in terms of fantasy points per game, which is just crazy to me. Who's a better runner, Lamar Jackson or Tim Tebow?
Lamar Jackson's not even close.
Who's a better passer, Lamar Jackson or Tim Tebow?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, man. He runs the ball so much and so well that I don't care how good of a passer he is. If he's the starter, he's a QB1, and I want him on my team.
It's fair. It's fair. I mean, I don't think he starts in 2017. That's the reason I wouldn't, or 2018.
Oh, you don't think he starts at all? Okay.
I don't. I think that they give Joe Flacco every last opportunity to win that job.
They already did for 3 seasons, and he was horrible.
I know, but they got a steal on Jackson. It's not like they spent crazy equity. If they liked him that much, they would have drafted him over Hayden Hurst. They literally risked the fact that he would still be there, and then like, oh, I guess we'll trade up at the end of this round. Like, you know, he's still there.
The Ravens should have been a playoff team last year. They hadn't blown that game against the Bengals late in the season, and that was it with Joe Flacco being, you know, as limited as he is. So I think that's what you'll see. I think you'll see probably one more year out of Flacco, and that was, you know, Ozzie Newsome's, I guess, parting gift was to go ahead and get them a potential quarterback of the future. But I love the upside.
Wasn't the point differential for the Ravens like 80 points better than the Titans?
Oh, well, you look at both of the wildcard teams in the AFC, you scratch your head. Like, the Bills and Titans were in the playoffs? Wow.
I know that both teams were negative, and the Ravens were way positive. So I'm going to look it up, Jody, while you go ahead and give us your last one.
Well, like I said, the big one I had was Winston. So I'll rattle off 3 names real quick here that I think are being undervalued. And of course, the poster boy for being undervalued in fantasy football quarterbacks every year is Philip Rivers. We haven't hit on him yet. Every year he gets disregarded, and every year he just keeps plugging away QB1 seasons. He's actually been a top 10 quarterback for 5 consecutive years. The last time he was not a top 10 quarterback, 2012, and guys never missed a game. So, you know, when you get Philip Rivers, you're probably going to get a solid QB1 every week. Another guy that nobody mentions, he would definitely be a two quarterback kind of guy, Andy Dalton, ECR 26, very, good very call. Consistent. Since he's entered the league, he's never thrown for less than 3250 or 18 touchdowns. He's managed to cut back on his interceptions. He's only missed 3 games as a pro. And in a fantasy standpoint, he's never been lower than QB19. So if you're looking at a second quarterback, about as safe as it gets down there with the guys that are ranked towards a 20. And the final guy for me is your hero, Bobby, and that's Blake Bortles, ECR 24.
He is not my hero. Don't say that. But I agree with this. Yeah.
Last 3 years, he's been QB3, QB8, QB13. Vast majority of that has come very, very good with his legs. He runs for about 325 yards a year, 2 to 3 touchdowns. Leonard Fournette in the lineup really helped him overall. You got attempts, yardage, and his touchdowns dropped, but his efficiency went up, his interceptions went down, and the Jaguars this year have the easiest strength of schedule for any team against the pass.
It's a good one. Those are all 3 good names, I think.
Yeah, the strength of schedule is ridiculous. I was talking about that with Marquise Lee in one of my pieces recently, that Marquise Lee will not face a shutdown cornerback the entire year.
Would they even put it on Marquise Lee, though?
I mean, I would. I think he's the best receiver on the team. Don't tell me it's Dante Moncrief.
I know. I wasn't thinking Dante Moncrief. I was thinking Keelan Cole.
No, he's still not. He's still a slot guy, though, too. You wouldn't put your number one guy
right,
in a slot
right.
Or a slot receiver.
You know, Andy Dalton, I'm looking at his fantasy performances. Right now, there's only one person in all of the fantasy experts who has him in their top 20. It's Jason Moore from over on the Fantasy Footballers. He's never finished as not a top 20 quarterback. He's been top 20 every single year.
That's correct. And so it depends on how you do your rankings. If you do them by projections, I'd put Dalton in my top 20 every time because yeah. He's going to play probably all 16 games. He has zero competition. He's not getting benched. He's a safe quarterback. But would I draft him as a top 20? Probably not.
All right, guys, that's all for the quarterbacks. And I did want to bring up this stat. I mentioned that it was, you know, maybe 60 or 70 points better, the Ravens point differential than the Titans. It's actually 114.
Wow.
And in terms of the Bills and the Ravens, it was actually 149 points better. They had the same record and the Ravens missed the playoffs.
Wow.
That is so crazy. Like, they got to change the rules because that is stupid. The Ravens were one of the best teams in the AFC and they were left out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's nuts. I didn't realize it was that much.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Jody, really appreciate you coming on as always.
Absolutely. I always love joining, like I called you, the dream team.
And thanks again to the sponsor of today's show, pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE. And remember, they're giving out a signed DeAndre Hopkins jersey if you want to enter the sweepstakes. Subscribe and review us on iTunes, our podcast, and send a screenshot to us at contest@fantasypros.com. For Mike Dagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.